All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit fat podcast.
I like China.
You work with retards.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Well, welcome back to Legit Bat, everybody. We are live on YouTube with Brad Binkley and Charlie Robinson, also known as...
A tremendous piece of shit.
And also...
Mouse sperm.
See, I don't even need you guys. I just have you on drop, so...
Yeah. Old mouse sperm Binkley.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know what the fuck that story was from, either. I just clipped it because you said it so deliberately. I'm like, I have to have
it. It's my grandmother. They passed it down to me. It's been going through our family.
Oh, yeah.
Mouse
that
sperm.
Makes more sense.
I don't remember what it's from either. It's probably one of those study finds saying where it's like mouse sperm helps men get pregnant by themselves.
Helps them get boners.
Sponsored by USAID.
Exactly.
So yeah, I want to get into that, but if anybody hasn't heard, well, this show, first of all, I'm Joe. Jen is here tonight.
Hello.
Oh my god, yeah, Jen's back, everybody. Yay.
Do you suck dicks?
Sometimes.
Balls.
If the price is right.
You know how much debt I'm in. So if nobody's ever heard of him before, if you're the first time listening to this show or podcast in general, Brad Binkley from the Propaganda Report and also Charlie Robinson from Macroaggressions, thanks you both for joining us. Is Ian and or what's his name? What's his friend's name?
Josh, Jocelyn, depending on which sex he is on that day.
Ian's friend.
You're talking about Reginald.
Reginald, that's right.
Unfortunately, I told him I invited him, but he has to help his dad tonight, so he's going to be unable to make it.
Reginald and Ian helping Ian's dad.
Helping Ian's dad, yeah.
That's great. Well, so I wanted to get you guys on because this is prime time for your area of expertise, which is not mine. We do keep track of it somewhat, but mostly through you guys' shows. So anything I know about what's going on is basically through the two of you. So I know you both have talked about this.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Charlie was just on OBDM last night, and they kind of touched on this a little bit, but where do you guys want to start with the whole USAID thing? It's the hot thing. Everybody's covering it right now. I knew what it was, but I never really looked into it a whole lot until this, of course, because it's the current thing.
Yeah.
I've heard plenty of opinions from both sides, all sides, really, and I don't know. Brad, we'll start with you. Where do you want to go with that? What do you think of it?
I've been talking about this since like 2019, and specifically when the Ukraine-Russia war started, because Samantha Powers, who was the head of it during, she a real, real psychopath married to Cass Sunstein, Obama's propagandist, who wrote that paper on conspiracy theories, how they need to cognitive infiltration to conspiracy radical groups to undermine their beliefs in like 9/11 conspiracy. That's the husband of the woman, the psychopath woman with very manly features, who was the head of the USAID. And she would go around all of the time talking about the silver lining of the Ukraine-Russia war is the DIA app that Zelensky, he promised to turn Ukraine into a fully digital e-government, the world's first back in 2019. And it just so happens that this war happened and the DIA app was able to spread, which is the state in an app, and this expedited the spread of it. And they're now exporting it to other countries as well to just get everybody connected. And that's part of that whole Ukraine thing. And so that's one of the reasons I've been focusing on USAID for quite some time now. I'm glad it's getting exposed. Exposing it is only the first part of the problem. Making sure that it's not, taken and redirected somewhere else under maybe a different name, That's the next part of the problem. So the celebration is good for exposing it, but we need to make sure they're not just going to fucking use it in some other way.
That was exactly what, yeah, one of the things I heard is that it's a slush fund and it's kind of going to just be grandfathered to the next group of people who want to use it for whatever they use it for. So the current people that are mad about it, you know, I don't even know if it's completely shut down or not, whatever, but the people that are mad about it are the ones who are directly benefiting from it, including, from what I found out today, Politico, Reuters, New York Times, or New York Post, one of the two. They're all basically funded by USAID, which is crazy. That's actual fascism. Am I right?
Probably Stephen Colbert, too, who had Samantha Powers on the show last night to defend the USAID, which, in my opinion, is like having Diddy on there to defend sex trafficking. But you can kind of see the people who have a stake in it who are defending it so strongly.
Yeah. The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Classic Joby DM line. Yeah, so I didn't know anything about that, especially. I mean, everybody had a guess, but that was called a conspiracy theory when you're like, oh, the media is government funded. Now it's kind of just out there, and I guarantee you in 3 days, no one's going to give a shit, like most of these other things.
Totally, dude. Yeah, it's
I think the people who don't give a shit aren't going to give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, they're already married to the news. They're just going to think that, oh, that's not true. Even though they're coming out and kind of saying it, maybe they'll rope that in with like the radical conspiracy theorists.
Of course they were. They'll rope everything in with that because it's an easy way to you know, thought terminate people and be like, oh, they're crazy people, so don't listen to them about this shit. I thought it was weird though too, I guess. I don't know if this is true or not. These are just things I've seen on the internet, which is where I get all my opinions. You all know that. That the CIA was trying to buy out all of it said entire workforce. Not only that, but I guess yesterday or today, one of the two Politico's employees didn't receive a paycheck for like the first time ever, which shows how much funding. I mean, if you want to, you know, connect the dots there, it shows how much funding they actually have. But what do you think about the CIA thing? Charlie, weigh in on this too if you want, because doesn't that mean that the entire fucking thing is shut down if they are offering every employee a buyout?
It would be nice to see them all leave, yeah. And just so that we're clear on the org chart, the CIA sister companies underneath them are USAID and the National Endowment for Democracy, and they're both very similar. But those are the groups that the CIA uses when they can't get their hands dirty. You know what I mean? Like when they're like, oh, that's too slimy even for us, we'll have them do it. And then they take all this money, which is just piped in, probably some of the missing $21 trillion that Catherine Austin Fitz and Mark Skidmore talked about. A lot of that money just then flows into USAID, and then from there, they distribute it to NGOs. And then, and what we've really been focused on lately has been the media component of it, which is relevant because they're definitely involved in propaganda. But just wait until the normies figure out that they are also involved in not just regime changes, but also depopulation with their vaccine agendas too. So that they're part of that 1974 Memorandum 200 that Kissinger wrote, where he's talking about our policy towards the third world is that of depopulation. And they showed how they were going to do it. And USAID is the group that they then hand money to. And then they go out and get Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or the World Health Organization, give them money to put sterilants in the tetanus vaccines that they distribute in Kenya and all throughout Africa and the Philippines and places like that. So just wait. If they can keep this attention span a little bit longer and make it a couple more days, then they're going to be like, wait, it's even worse than we thought. Not only are they paying dipshits at Politico to spout ridiculous actual conspiracy theories, but they're also funding depopulation and eugenics. Fantastic. Great. This is a stain on America. We've, of course, been screaming about this for the last couple of years. Nobody listens. But now people are listening. Now they're realizing, but they only know part of the story.
Well, isn't that, am I not, to go back to what I said earlier, is that not the classic definition of fascism, to have a government-funded slush fund that puts funds into NGOs and private companies, and then they use that to do the government's bidding? That's fascism, right? Isn't that shit China does?
No, it's not letting women play basketball or men play basketball.
Oh, right.
Boner.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the blending of the state with big business for the benefit of the state is fascism, and the other way around is corporatism, they say. So, I mean, pick your... Everyone benefits from this. Right. Anybody that touches these people gets large amounts of money. Like, I think, did we see the numbers? And I can't verify it because I haven't seen the actual documents, but what I've heard is the numbers that they're talking about, that they paid the celebrities to go hang out with Zelensky.
Yeah, they did. They paid Stiller. It's probably through the CAA agency, the one that Biden just signed with.
Bono, the fucking stupid concert they did in like a subway tunnel right during the middle of the war.
That shit, dude. You go to the CAA's page, there's a foundation where their job, it says it on their site, their job is to connect celebrities with these different organizations and these different movements, and they send them there to go give speeches.
Yeah.
It's casting.
Yeah.
I mean, I said that back when that happened. My parents are not as, I wouldn't say informed, but they just don't really pay attention to a lot of the ins and outs of this stuff. But back when the Ukraine war is in full swing and right in the middle of a war-torn country, Bono's going over there to do a private little concert with
call Zelensky brave. You know, fuck yourself.
Well, he's only brave because he's coked out of his gourd. He's super brave. He's like, look at my balls. But even just as a casual observer who knows nothing about these things, you should look at that and go, that's really weird. Yeah. Like, what if DC was being bombed and Led Zeppelin came over and did a little private thing for Biden, you know, at the same time? Like, wouldn't that be weird? I asked my mom that, and she's like, well, I think they're just trying to, like, you know, uplift their spirits and stuff. I'm like, while bombs are dropping?
It's because it's not real. Like, to them, it's not real. It's something they're seeing on TV. It's not something they're experiencing.
Right.
It's something they can even picture living through. It's something they can picture watching on TV, which is probably where they saw it. So it makes it more believable to the brain, yeah.
That's what it is. It's like, so we go watch a streaming show, and our brain is this is not real. It's actors that are even though that's propaganda in and of itself. All the CIA shows they have streaming now, trying to rebrand their reputation through that. But still, it's fictional. We watch the news, and not us, but the idea is that this is a nonfiction program that's supposed to be telling us the truth, and yet it's filled with people like Rachel Maddow, who literally plays a character on the Batwoman show, and a bunch of other people who went into acting programs and then switch to the politics program. I mean, it's all theater and all performance. It's just a different frame that they deliver it through.
And for the listeners, Brad would know, he's a theater performer. He's an actor.
I'm a big fag.
But,
not in that sense, but,
Where is that? Oh.
This guy's a faggot.
There we go.
I love that. The frogs is his fucking chair.
Not my chair, not my
that's
problem.
Exactly what that's from too. Oh my god. Yeah. I'm glad you picked that out. She showed that to me. I did want to kind of go though, speaking of, the theatrics of all of this, when people are watching this and assuming it's real, I would like to draw attention. I don't know if either of you have heard of this, but and I think it was in the last day or so it kind of came out that I want to say it was Reuters had like a $10 million grant or something during 2020 to 2022 called large scale social deception, something like that. Like the acronym was literally like LSD, which is funny in itself, but that's something we could look into. I haven't looked into it myself. I just, I heard it around and about the interwebs, like I usually do, but I couldn't say that didn't happen. Like that makes sense. Especially that they would call it something so obvious because nobody pays attention. It makes sense to me.
What years was it?
I think it was around the time of the beginning of COVID, like somewhere around 2019 to 2022.
Yeah, you don't say. Yeah. Some money for propaganda. You know, like you think about like you watch Stephen Colbert and you go, oh, I get it now. Now I understand who's paying those assholes to dress up like syringes.
Kimmel, Fallon, now, all of those guys.
It could have been Pfizer, right? But it's probably USAID, right? Under some obscure NGO that pretends like they're buying advertising. And it's like, you know, just, you know, I don't know, do a fucking dance or something. You know, whatever you guys, whatever you fairies do.
The vaccine there, guy dance. Remember that?
It's crazy, man.
The needles dancing on
that. And the audience cheers when they see that stuff. And they cheer when Samantha Powers, they bring her on last night or two nights ago. And USAID is humanitarian. What's going to happen if they take this all this funding away? And she says, well, they're going to take away a miracle paste of peanut butter, which is like a weird thing to say. She actually said. And Colbert doesn't say, could you elaborate on the miracle paste? They just go on and say, well, the babies are going to die. And the crowd's going, woo! And it's like, what kind of ideological test do you have to pass to get into this audience? Because I'd be screaming and get thrown out if I were in that audience. But nobody, everybody just cheers when they hear this bullshit.
I think they're lobotomized. I think they check to make sure that they are before they go in. Have you ever gone to the taping of a live show before?
Jerry Springer is the only one I've ever been to. It was great.
I went to Herman's Head. Do you remember that show a million years ago in the 90s?
Charlie's old, everyone, just so you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was really funny. We were extremely stoned,
but they had the stage producers on all these things telling you what to do and stuff.
It was wild.
Oh yeah, the applause signs, like, that blew my mind when I was a kid, knowing that, like, even like Wheel of Fortune or whatever, it's like, oh wow, everybody knows when to clap.
If they have to tell you when to laugh, it's not funny.
Right, yeah. That's, well, they snap at Colbert's show like they're a fucking poetry reading.
That's why when you watch sitcoms now, or even just clips of sitcoms from the 90s, it's so cringe, because you know that it's just manufactured. And I mean, you knew that watching it back in the day, but it wasn't as blatant as it is now, knowing what we know about, you know, the TV world.
It works too, man. So I worked at a comedy club for many, many years, and open mic nights are, they can be just amazing, or they can just be, it, you know, people getting up there. And if you're 30th or 40th on the list, it's 1 a.m. and there's nothing but a couple comics left in the room, or a handful of people. It's going to be hard to get some laughs. But you go in, you go back there, and we experimented with this. Somebody, if they're not a lot of people in the room, or if other people aren't laughing, they might think something is funny, but they might be afraid to laugh because they'll feel embarrassed because they're the only one. So what me and my buddy who owned the club would do sometimes, we would just go sit in the back and we would just start laughing at things just to see if everybody else did. And every single time, the entire room would start laughing. We didn't know if they thought it was funny, but it was just like a social acceptance thing.
There's a word for that. There's some, like, a psychological term for that, where it's if somebody does something, the other people do it. Like, there was a whole experiment where they did that with people, where they're like, this is blue, and it was a red dot or whatever, but a certain percentage of the people would say, it is blue. I don't remember the exact experience. It was something to that effect, though, where because like seven other people who were all actors said that it was this color or what it was, this thing, the last person who was the test subject was like, oh shit, I don't want to be ostracized.
Yeah,
here,
it showed several people, but some of them were actual free thinkers and were like, no, this is clearly fucking blue. Yeah. But there were a lot of people that were just, they'd look around like, maybe it is. But
and
I was
that's
thinking
how you
too,
can
like,
recognize
the,
an NPC.
Jerry Springer, these taped shows, people, and not us necessarily, and maybe probably not our listeners, but people that I see in the world just love to be a part of something. Like, they're so lonely, they just don't know themselves. They love being told when to laugh. They love
they
going to that
activists.
Shit. Yeah. It's crazy because they feel so proud. That's why they cheer when someone's like, babies are going to die, because they're not listening to what the message is.
Wait,
they're
did
not
you say
really
babies are
going to
die?
About it.
Did you guys watch that rally outside the Treasury the other day? No. Any of that? It's like they're all trying to be Martin Luther King, and the audio is terrible, so it's all blown out. You got Chuck Schumer go, what are we going to do? We're going to fight. And it sounds awful. But then there's this one woman, I guess she's a senator or something, I don't know from where, but she came out there, and she says to this crowd, which was all organized by this Indivisible group, which is they're connected to MSNBC, promoted by Rachel Maddow.
You're on their email list. I know this.
And the guy who runs is like the biggest, like, he's somebody, you look at this guy and you say, he'll jerk off on your leg while you're sleeping. Like, that's what you get when you look
free.
At this guy. Totally. He's just like a creep, but he's like a real tiny beta guy, but he connects to that audience. And they do these, I played some clips from their virtual training session on a show that me and Forrest Mommy did last night, just to show some, because all the shit that's going on, they tell you about it in these training videos beforehand. And so, like, she comes out here and she goes, every single movement needs its feisty little dyke. And I'm like, wait, what?
I saw that.
And then she does her whole fucking speech, and she ends it by going, I need all of you to find your feisty little dyke inside of you. I'm just like, I would like to go to one of these meetings and be like, everybody needs somebody who could suck their own dick.
Faggots.
Fight for this cause. And you're pretty good. You just go, because it'll just go with it.
Like the Cassidy Campbell skits that he does at City Hall, in the Alex Stein vein.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
Dude, I've seen a lot more people doing that lately, and I approve 100% of people doing that. And I don't care if they're ripping off Alex Stein or anything. Like, he was a pioneer in this field, and everybody who's been out there doing that, I mean, there's been black dudes out there talking about, I wish I could pull up the clip. I don't remember what it was
colored
called,
dudes.
But just... colored people, not people of color. Did I get that right?
Right.
Or if you're real progressive, we can drop that here. But yeah, just seeing people, like, I would say they were hackier, but when you're out there on camera and you can get the footage, put it on social media and distribute it to the world of you torching these fucking retard council members or school council or whatever, I back it 100%. Please get that out there.
And dude, so right now, what they're doing right now, because every day with the national news is going to be something, it's going to be provocative and it's going to grab everybody's attention. And so this resistance thing, we saw the national rallies and shit the last time. What they're doing now is they're doing some of that, but with their main focus is on local, where most people aren't paying attention. And in the Democrat states, they're holding rallies, and they're being very loud and very gay and liberal. In the Republican states, they're doing what Lenin said we need to do when the communist messaging is too much for the people you're communicating with, then we're going to shed our red and we're going to start speaking like them and pretend to be one of them. And they, in the Republican areas, will start talking about the price of eggs. And I have a clip of them saying this that I played last night. And they'll start talking about the economy and they'll try and capture the office. And then they will promote all of the same shit. So the trans women's sports, whatnot, they're going to use the smaller government, let's empower the states and the locales. They're going to use it against people because people are paying attention to the national show while the communists are going to your locales. And they're saying, resist all that national bullshit and continue to do this Marxism bullshit that they've been doing. And people need to pay attention to what's going on in their towns because they are organizing protests every single day at your state capitals and shit.
But they limp wrist when they throw the Molotov cocktails. It's so hard to take them seriously.
I know. It really is.
You know,
dude, we're talking about the price of eggs. That's so funny. I watched this in real time. So eggs have been up for quite some time, the last couple months. And that usually happens. We have chickens. So during the winter, they kind of stop laying. I know factory farming probably doesn't have that problem because they cycle them in and out so often, whatever.
And if they keep the coop warm, they'll still lay. We just don't do
that. Yeah, we just don't do that because we suck. But so to watch the price of eggs go up quite substantially, like during December, November, I can't remember when it started, nobody said shit about it. Then Trump gets into the White House January 20th, and all of a sudden, the liberal side starts going, eggs are still expensive.
It's so
what the
fuck?
Trump just got sworn in. Why are eggs expensive?
Yeah. And it's like, they're such retards. And it's like they're content in their own ignorance. There's no interest in, like, actually understanding economics or anything like that. They just throw out the accusation and then they move on. They don't stick around to figure out, you know, in the absence of facts, they have feelings. Like, I feel like it should be Trump's fault. I feel like we're going to pin everything on him.
I feel like I have problems
with him, but my God, like, he just came in. It's
barely been a couple of weeks and they're a part of something, like you were saying, Jen, and that's what is important to them. And that they target people like this. So you have all these young liberals whose parents are probably wealthy, so they have nothing else to do. I mean, who has time to go every single day to the capital of your state? Which so you go to, was it mobilize.us and you'll find some of the protests. And there's a 50501 thing. I'll tell you that way. I can find it. 50501 Build the Resistance Movement, where they say all the local protests and stuff. You only have time to do that if you're a wealthy liberal kid, or if you are like a housewife who has nothing to do. And they target these people. They call it the Bolshevik man in this book called The Organizational Weapon. It was written like in the 50s. It's about the tactics that the communists used to organize, to create an organizational weapon. And these people who have no purpose or no meaning, and they give them purpose and meaning, which becomes a daily protest action life, which they benefit at nothing at all for it. The organizers, they make money, they rise politically. Meanwhile, the people who do it, who go put their bodies on the line, end up in jail. You know, they throw the Molotov.
They got a sweet Instagram reel, though, bro. That's what they're there for. They're there for the virtue signal.
It's like building a cult. It's like almost the same way that cults are built. I mean, it's a little bit different.
No, it's 100% culty.
But it's very culty, the end result, for sure.
Yeah, and to see that, like you said, who has time to go do that? People who don't have bigger problems, like paying their mortgage or food or kids. Oh, no, I'm a parent. I have a fur baby. Not the same thing, dude. I've had both. Not the same thing. Sorry.
Yeah. Not a lot of protesters in Gaza.
No, that's because they're all dead.
Yeah. No, not many anymore.
Jinx. What do you think about that, though, too? A little bit late on this, but... since we both have that sound drop and we both jinx each other, but what do you think about the Trump thing? We're going to take the Gaza Strip. It's going to be great. It's going to be ours. It's going to be tremendous. I've heard both sides of this again, and some, you know, the MAGA people are, oh, that's amazing because Trump did it. And then there's the other side that's like, he's playing right into Israel's hands. Do you see Netanyahu's fucking face when he was talking about people
such a villain, dude,
dead in Gaza? He's like, yeah.
His face anytime is a little bit gross, but.
And why do they call him BB? Sidetrack here. Why do they call him BB? What is that?
I don't know. It's weird to me. Okay. A lot of people with Israel and all that, they say, well, they're like us, or their values are like us. I'm like, you know that Bibi Netanyahu keeps a statue on his desk of a syringe that is supposed to be the first, he got the first shot, and I don't believe he necessarily got the shot, but he keeps it there, and there's a picture of it, and he begged to have his entire population used as guinea pigs for this because of how diverse of people they were, and it called the vaccine nation is what he declared it, and all the studies were done on what they did, and they're slogan was, if you're not vaccinated, you're left behind. You don't have that vaccine green card. You can't participate in society. And so I tell people who say that, is that a good person? Because even the bad guys can read the Bible, because there's often the biblical reference of Israel. I'm like, well, you know, that's not just available to the good people. And the bad people are more willing to co-opt and lie. Bibi Netanyahu is a fucking supervillain, in my opinion.
He's a piece of shit. As Charlie would say, a tremendous piece of shit.
A tremendous piece of shit.
Yeah, I spoke for you. No, that is weird, though, too, because I thought about that the other day. And as far as the Bible goes, it's weird that Christians support Israel so much. I mean, not weird. They were brought up to do that. But then you have the other side. Tel Aviv's the LGBT capital of the world, and like the pedophile capital of the world. So they're playing to both sides, which makes me think Israel is the actual beast in the book of Revelation, if you want to believe that. Charlie, I cut you off. Sorry, go ahead.
They are,
you know, it used to be that you couldn't say anything about them.
Just you still kind of can't.
Yeah, well, but it's changing. You know, the Overton window of acceptable Israeli criticism has definitely shifted over the last 5 years due to their behavior. Let's be crystal clear. It's not like everyone just woke up one day and decided let's have a problem with Israel. No, it's the systematic genocide of a group of people. The outright lies,
Charlie,
about it. The depopulation of your own people through the vaccine agenda, which is crazy. I haven't forgotten about 9/11. You're not getting off the hook for that one.
Dancing group of Israelis, or
right? you know. And then there's the like the humiliation ritual that happens yearly by Israel to the American politicians, where Netanyahu brings his dirty laundry and has the White House do it. Have you heard that story?
No, what I heard somebody say something. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He brings his dirty laundry to make the White House staff do his dirty laundry.
Wait, like his actual dirty skivs and stuff.
I'm not saying he has dirty laundry while he's there. The report is that he takes his dirty laundry with him because he knows they'll do his laundry for him.
That'd be a photo.
Just to make them wash his underwear. You know, this is all a power play. Saw him get the chair pushed in for him, pushed in for him and everything. I mean,
dude, that's real.
Standing ovations in Congress, all this performance art is just like to reinforce, we fucking own your ass. You know, and Netanyahu's on camera saying that in the 80s in those videos, talking about how we control all the politicians. So there's a lot of noticing going on lately.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
And that
it's hard not to notice it, you know?
It's out in the open. And if I did, and then the irony is that it's like, if we sit here and criticize them, we're the bad guys. When they brag about doing it, what, we're supposed to not recognize that? They're like, of course we fucking run Hollywood. You're like,
I know. Yeah.
If I say that, I'm awful. If you say it, it's stating a fact. And you're bragging. So it's just this,
well, that's because you're
this language
obviously.
Game that nobody wants to play anymore. They're like, you know what? Fuck you. I'll say whatever I want about that you guys are slaughtering the Palestinians, and that's wrong, period. There's no justification for all the dead kids. There just isn't. So I'm tired of the excuses. You can call us whatever you want. You can slap whatever label. They don't work anymore.
Well, first
the
of
mask
all,
mask is off. Like, everyone's talking about it.
Calling Netanyahu a fucking kike is not anti-Semitic. You know why? Because he's not.
Exactly. No, I know. Because he's Polish. But it reminds me of...
So that's true that he's Polish? I saw that recently.
Yeah, he changed his name.
Yeah. And these guys are all from different places. It's a very deceptive group.
It's called the Synagogue of Satan, according to the Bible. It's people who pretend to be Semitic or Jews or whatever and are not. That's most of them in Israel.
I mean, you'd think that the Jewish people would be mortified by this, completely offended by it.
The real ones probably are.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure, and I know there's a segment of the Israeli population that is absolutely positively against what's going on.
And they probably can't say anything about it because if they didn't get vaccinated, they weren't allowed to participate in society when he was there.
Right.
But it's crazy to me. It's just like I tell all of my producer Jewish friends, and all of my producer friends are Jewish. Bibi Netanyahu is not their friend.
No, absolutely.
Did they know
he's
that?
An enemy to them.
So
I don't
they
think
know
that. So okay. I've been at a Jewish wedding. Some of my best friends are Jewish, and they don't know anything about like any of this. Like long ago, I told one of them. I said, I was like, you're familiar with Jeffrey Toobin, right? And he knew who Jeffrey Toobin was, but he had no idea about Jeffrey Toobin's background.
Lubin Toobin?
Yeah, Lubin Toobin. And I told him that, and he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, dude. He whacked it in front of... He says he was an accident, but he literally pointed the thing in a power move. The guy who forced his co-worker's daughter, tried to force her to have an abortion, pointed the thing at his dick, and he whacked it on a Zoom call, and he is the chief legal analyst talking about sex stuff on CNN. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. How do you not fucking know that? And it's just because they're in this bubble... Where I don't think everybody is like us where they dive into this stuff. I think people have stuff to do and they passively consume stuff that makes them satisfies their confirmation bias. And I have never seen a rise in anti-Semitism towards them. They're some of the best people. Like one of them, I'm like, marry my sister, please, so she stops dating these idiots. But like, I have seen him actually start to get afraid because of the propaganda from the media has made him believe that there is a rising anti-Semitism that is non-existent, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it depends on who you ask, I guess, but there, it's also how you define anti-Semitism. We've gone rounds about this before, and it's
identity politics.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's anti-Semitic to call out something fucked up somebody's doing in the Middle East. Then call me that. I don't, okay, whatever. And I know Charlie's on the exact same page. That's where I got this sentiment from, where he's like, oh, I'm a homophobic, anti-Semitic, white, racist nationalist. Whatever.
I'm just curious how many people in Israel are like us, though, that hate their government, hate them so much. Because think about it, in different countries, they might think everyone in America is just all on board with whatever the current political agenda is. So, and there's always the outliers. So there must be outliers in Israel who are like, fuck this.
Who are the conspiracy theorists over there?
Yeah. We would be offended if they just blindly assume that we're on board with all the slaughtering going on. I mean, we'd be like, whoa.
That's why Americans are fucking chastised every time they go to any other country, like in Europe or anywhere. Like they hate them because they think that they represent, you know, the American politics that they're seeing on TV.
Yeah, that's why American backpackers wear Canadian flag emblems on their backpacks when they travel internationally so that they don't be
safe.
That's what I learned when I was in Thailand. They're like, oh, yeah, they don't. I mean,
because
like,
of the attitude they have towards Americans?
Just because, they're just sort of like, there's less problems.
That's because nobody's afraid of Canadians.
I know. Well, I mean, if you want to have less problems, you go there and sort of fly your fake Canadian flag on your back.
You know, and that, so Trump is a brander, you know, and all of that is just how people have been branded. We've been branded as a monolith or whatever the word is. Yeah. And obviously nobody is like that, but that's how media propaganda works, is making people believe that everyone, especially when it comes to like war propaganda, everyone is exactly like the worst person of a group.
But
the people fighting the war are all the best people, and they're killing each other while the leaders laugh and
that's,
you know,
the fucked up thing about it, man. You know, because right, Netanyahu, he was giving millions, he was helping facilitate the millions to Hamas for years to make all this happen. The shit eating grin he had on his face during that in front of the fire question session, where he was like mirroring Trump's sitting posture the whole time. I mean, that to me, I'm like, that. So I don't see rising anti-Semitism, but that right there is going to cause people to be anti-Semitic because they're going to go that. But they're going to get like that shit right there. It's like, at least don't be so fucking obvious about how much of a villain you are. Well, this is going on.
Well, and which is funny because again, that's still technically not anti-Semitic because he's not a Semite. Right.
Yeah.
But people don't know this shit. It's wild. So it's so complex to try to explain your point of view. You can't do it in 5 seconds while you're passing your coworker in the hall. Like, oh, fuck the Jews. And they're like, what? You're like, no. Let me explain. 2 hours later, you're like, do you get it now? And they still don't.
Go ahead.
Do you remember in Whitney Webb's book, she talks about Les Wexner admitting that he has a demon that lives in him?
Isn't that the Victoria's Secret guy?
Jeffrey Epstein's partner.
I believe it.
That he has a demon who lives inside of him, and he named it. And when I was watching Netanyahu, he looked to me like Les Wexner. He looked like he had a demon inside of him. And I'm not like a, I'm not one of those guys that typically goes like, he needs to find Jesus, you know, or anything like that. But he with that look and the way he looked kind of like Wexner with like these pointy ears, I was like, the evil is oozing out of him. Like he's just got an evil aura. Yeah. He couldn't even hide it.
I don't think you should discount that, Charlie. I think everyone should be able to tell when there's a demon among them. And we don't have to be a wooey weirdo about it. Like evil exists in the world. I've never seen a real demon in real life, but I would like to think that I will know when I see one.
You can see the shit in people's eyes.
There's
been a handful of occasions working in stand-up and improv in a theater for so long, over a decade, you meet a lot of really great people, but you meet a lot of future theys, and you also meet a lot of really, really weird people. And there was a handful of times where I met somebody, or like I was in a film with somebody, and they would show up to the theater, and I would just look at them. And one in particular, my girlfriend and I at the time, we told everybody, we said, stay away from that guy. He is such a pedophile. Like, it was just something about him. And fast forward a couple of years, we were broken up at the time. She sent me a link to an article. He had become a politician in a nearby city of Marietta, and he had just been arrested because he had had a secret relationship with a 12-year-old going on. God. And it's like, we told everybody. And there's like three or four times that happened. And I think, I don't know if people get distracted, or maybe people like us in this conspiracy alternative media community are more skeptical of things. But like, sometimes I'm just like, how do you not see that this person is really weird and creepy? And then I look at this progressive Democrat movement, and so these people are the leaders of them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a freak show.
You can't tell.
And for the audio listeners, I just put up a very disturbing image of George Soros, and he looks like a lizard person. Yeah, I get why people say that.
Do you
like you said, you can see it in his eyes.
The David Icke story about telling how he was sitting in the makeup chair in the back of the BBC with Ted Heath in the chair next to him, and how Ted Heath looked at him and started at his toes and like slowly looked him up like he was scanning him. And he said when he got his head up straight, David Icke was looking at his eyes, and he said his eyeballs were just pure black, both of them. He was like non-human, and he just kind of looked at him and then just looked back and didn't say a word. He was like, David said, I was in the presence of something that was non-human at that point. And I was like,
no, and like Jen said, you can't discount that feeling. Like, everybody's got that sixth sense kind of.
I don't know if everyone, I think we all it deep down, but a lot of people just ignore it. I think it's cool to just not ignore it, because even though it sounds crazy, someday that might come in handy.
Everybody has a different, everybody has a different word for it, though, too. You have Christians who would say that's demonic. You have. Name it what you will. It's the same thing. It's the same vibe.
Yeah, how about nobody judges anyone for how they feel and interpret the world, and then people won't give a shit because they're not worried about what other people think. They can laugh at whatever they want. They can see a demon if they want.
No, that's fine too. But like,
I'm not
when
saying
you're in
we
the presence
of
something
things,
like
but...
a Hillary Clinton or a George Soros, and you have that feeling that it's almost an anti-magnetic thing. You know, when you put two magnets together and they repel it. Most normal humans have that. There's certain people where you're just like, ooh, I can't. Ooh, that's
societal norms. Like,
Brad, you've been in a room where the vibe changed.
Absolutely.
You could feel it. And you're just like, whoa, something feels. I've been in a night. I used to bartend for years, and we could tell right before there was going to be a fight. I could feel it coming. And you could
energy,
feel it in the crowd. There was just a change in the atmosphere, and it's really kind of hard to put your finger on.
It's palpable.
And you almost can't. It's almost, it almost takes in retrospect. You go, I was feeling weird right before that fight broke out. You know, like, it was kind of heavy in there. So
as a bartender, you're going to be alert. Like I was, because I worked at the theater, and there's, every now and then some shit would happen. So you're going to be a little bit of a higher alert to that than people who are drinking and not paying attention.
Yeah.
But
I was
absolutely
sober too, while I was bartending too. I could see fights developing before they happened. You could sort of feel like a vibe. Like, you just hear like, it's like a rumbling almost. And you're like, oh shit.
You can see a movement in the crowd. Like
you want to get away from the dance floor, 'cause shit's about to go down. Whenever there was a Mike Tyson fight, there was guaranteed to be a fight that night at the bar where I work. Guaranteed.
Ear bitings.
Just a shitty crowd that was easily like, they would go out like almost looking for a fight.
Well, it's the bar too. I worked at a shitty bar also in Indiana, and I knew that every motherfucker who came in there was like the biggest piece of shit. Like, you wouldn't go there unless you were a piece of shit. Like, I would never frequent there on my day off because it sucked. It was not even a dive bar. It was just a shitty, there was like a, so it's Indiana, first of all, but there was like a bar with live music that sucked in the front. And then it was like a faux nightclub in the back. And that was a very small nightclub area. So ghetto. So there were lots of fights, and it was almost like an entity. You could see the people. I didn't see like a real entity, but the people would all move like in one certain way. And you could tell that something terrible was about to happen.
They'll jump into shit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it, like I said, that's not something that's crazy. I know people, everybody who's listening to this has probably experienced that at some time or another. Like Charlie was saying, you can feel the vibe shift in the air, and it's like, something's off right now. I think I want to leave. I've done that so many times at parties, mostly at my older brother's house. I don't know why, but where I've cut out like 10 to 15 minutes before something monumental went down, and I don't know about it till the next day, and they're like, fuck, we were up till 5 in the morning cleaning up this glass because some dumb bitch did this and like punched this other dude. I'm like, wow, I cut out right at the right time. I cannot tell you how many times that's happened to me.
Dude, I feel like this is like the whole, the last 5 years is like, we're at this nightclub and we're like, okay,
some shit's about to go down.
Yeah. Right.
And everyone else is shit on the dance floor.
Like I remember when I was younger, I was saying something about some person that I think I was in college at the time. I didn't like, and this girl that I was friends with was saying something about him. She's like, why are you being so judgmental about him? I said, because I'm judgmental as fuck. That's why. And you know,
good answer.
That might be natural in conspiracy. And there's been occasions where I've misjudged people. And when I've gotten to know them, I've been like, I totally was wrong about you.
Oh, yeah. But
there's been more occasions where I've been perceptive in that, right? Because I'm just, once you experience a pathological liar, like a real pathological lying con artist, then you really understand what people are capable of.
Yes.
There's a book called The Big Con, which this writer rode around with his traveling band of con artists like in the early 1900s. And he created a whole dictionary for their lingo. And he told all the stories of how they would take over entire towns. They'd get a building and they would get the police involved working with them and the politicians working with them. And they'd be targeting one wealthy person and they'd set up an entire fake horse racing thing where they'd just bring this guy in, take him for all his money, and he'd leave and he'd have no idea that he'd been conned. And I'm like, wow, apply that to today. Because it's the same thing is going
on a mass scale.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And not just targeting the wealthy. They're targeting everybody for a percentage. And that's way more lucrative and totally way more diabolical and way more subversive because nobody fucking knows it. And
they're also shaming all of the people who are going against it. They're like, oh, you're stupid. What are you, a free thinker? That's shame. Dangerous.
It's the same thing with, I was listening to this interview with this dude that runs, I forget what the website's called. I have it on my phone, but he runs this website where basically he's teaching people how to be like legally guarded from ever paying taxes again. He's like, don't file, put exempt on your W-4 or whatever. Do not pay taxes ever again.
Does he have a will?
No, it's like a law firm where he's like, we will back you up because it's unlawful to pay taxes. And we guarantee that you will never fucking hear from the IRS again. So I'm going to look into that because I think this is my year. I think 2025 is my year to never file taxes again and never pay them again.
Is that because my employer barely withheld taxes from my check in?
You mean every year in the last 10 years or what?
No, not the last 10.
No, but it's a huge con and we all know that. I mean, that's news to no one. But I think with this, all this stuff, kind of to circle it back to the USAID thing, I think people are starting to, more people are, I don't know, there's going to be people that are holding on by their fingernails to the world they thought that was here that everybody knows now is not here. But where do you think this is going in the next, you know, before we get out of here, the next like year? Because Trump's been on like a steamrolling fucking powertrain. And he's only been in there for like 2 weeks. And I agree with a lot of things he's done. Not the Zionist Jewish shit. Throw that shit out. But everything else seems to be great. And I'm just waiting. I'm just sitting here watching it like everybody else. But where do you guys think this is going in the next, we'll say 6 months? Because the next 4 years, very up in the air.
I'd love to see more unemployment in Washington, D.C. in any way, shape, or form that they can get it, whether they're offering buyouts, whether they're just firing people. I would love for that town to just be gutted. I know.
Starting with the IRS.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd love for things to be done differently. I'm not, you know, I'm extremely suspicious of these people too, because I don't, you know, I don't know that, you know, how much of this is we've gone from the devil we know to the devil we don't know with regard to somebody like Elon and what he's, you know, it's like, great, their USAID isn't blowing all this money, but he's got now full transparent access to the treasury and all the information that comes from that. What does that mean? Is he using that to finance and he's going to use that to plug in his X, aka WeChat, into that and start using that as a mobile payment system? I mean, what is this relationship with Trump really about? So I'm suspicious of everybody always, you know, as the Wilford Brimley,
of you.
The Wilford Brimley quote in The Firm, I get paid to be suspicious when I got nothing to be suspicious about. I'm just suspicious about all of these fucking people. I don't trust any of them. But I will say, credit where it's due. It's nice that we don't have the Kamala regime. That's great. That's a benefit. So you asked what the next 6 months are going to look like. Not tranny story time. That's good.
I think that's fantastic. That's gone the way of Old Yeller. I think it's great. It's kind of been shot down.
But now we've got technocracy and it's like, holy shit. I mean, this is going to be worse. You know, it's just like a different sort of choose your own adventure.
Strawberry instead of grape Kool-Aid.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, grape. We're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I think everything that Trump's doing is everything that everyone who voted for him wanted him to do. Yeah. And everything that all of the Democrats were terrified that he would do. So right. It's polarizing exactly as it should be, quote unquote.
Well, and a lot of the things he's doing, I've seen so many MAGA accounts are like, promises made, promises kept. It's like, okay, well, he's doing it via EOs, which technically are pretty reversible, like by Congress. Right. Like it's not a
PR thing that stick, you know.
They both play it the same way though. There are two are like, look at this, you can now call people gay and retarded, and it's like, okay, that's awesome, but
yeah, but
that's
it's such a power move to do that. Like it's a very alpha, like doing this.
I love the signing opposite. The executive orders and taking questions. Yeah. So they used to call it chopper talk outside the helicopter. And now he does it while he's signing executive orders. And he gives away pens.
He's like, you want my autograph? Yeah. I'll sign you tits.
Oh no, he's definitely
literally signed tits of a bartender before.
Yeah. They picked the right guy for this role. That's 100%.
Yeah, he's good at that for sure. I like the cultural shift for sure. So as somebody being in comedy, you know, there's shows in Atlanta still that are LGBTQ, trans gets 5 minutes, allies get 3, you know, white men, hetero can go fuck themselves, basically. I'm like, okay, good. I know not to go here anymore. I'm okay with you doing that. So I'll go somewhere else.
Right. The free market will decide.
Right. I'm totally cool with that. And RFK, for example, I have my questions, but like you, Charlie, I'm skeptical of everybody, and I know that the way propaganda has worked, they write it in their books all the time, is the propagandist that is going to be sent to manipulate you and people like you is going to be someone who you identify with and who you probably like, because that is who you are most likely to trust. It's not going to be somebody that you don't like, so you have to embrace the cognitive dissonance of questioning those who, like, I think Trump is really funny. I'm going to be honest.
Oh,
I think
hilarious.
No, we do too.
I don't think anyone can argue that unless you're a woke.
We missed his tweets as soon as Biden got elected.
China.
Right, but I don't trust him. Like I'm going to question him because I know, like, that's who I'm most vulnerable to being manipulated by. Yeah. And I think that's the kind of the way I view everything. And I think that's the best way to protect ourselves from manipulators, whether it's a con artist that you might meet in your everyday life or a con artist that you might see on television. We can't just they bait us to joining sides, to wanting to hate other stuff. And I totally hate a lot of hate's a strong word, but I strongly dislike the bullshit cultural stuff that's been pushed the past 8 years. But I'm also not just going to jump on board with fucking Elon. Elon's weird, right, dude? He's weird as shit. All right.
You want the definition of autism?
So it's that weird guy. Go back and watch Elon's SNL hosting thing. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen.
He's like an alien. He said that on Rogan. I'm an alien. Really is. It's like, if there were aliens, you'd be about as close as I could imagine one to be. You're fucking weird, dude.
Right. I try not to be black pilled which I'm not. I'm actually very hopeful, and I like to make fun of all this stuff. But what I was going to say about RFK is, so RFK, you know, he might be into climate change and all that, but the narrow focus that he's talking about, and the fact that it's been put into the conversation that the food is all fucked up and the water's messed up. I look at what I eat far more than I ever did. I eat healthier now simply because that's been a conversation in our society. And so that's a good thing.
Just on that.
Right. Yeah. So like, just the fact, I think the fact that there's better messages being delivered is a good thing.
I think the funniest thing about the RFK whole situation, and apparently he just got through the commission or something, and now he's going to the Senate and whatever. I think even if he doesn't get confirmed as the HHS director or whatever they call it, I think he's accomplished what he set out to do just by putting it out there enough to enough people that they're like, what? Food dyes are bad for you? I had no fucking idea. And that's fine. There's some people who still don't know that. I mean, there's a documentary fucking 15, 20 years ago called Food Inc. that opened a lot of people's minds that were like, wow, most of the shit we eat is awful.
It's not even food.
But then they moved on and we're like, eh, whatever, McDonald's. So the fact that it's coming back around again, and he's like, no, most of this shit is awful. Oh, do you have a clip for us?
Yeah, I just want to show you what this guy looks like.
Who is that?
About the demon eyes.
Oh.
D's nuts.
Do you guys see that? The guy on the left. So that's the leader of Indivisible. This is the biggest activist group.
Oh, my God.
Faggots.
Yeah, like, this guy is somebody who, he's going to jerk off on you. Like, get away from him.
I fucking hate midgets.
That was the wrong button. Sorry.
Wow. They pick this guy because, and he talks down to these people, but they pick him and they do the production style like this because they want it to relate to the people that they're targeting.
Oh, look, I'm just in my living room with my totally normal wife.
This mousy bitch wife over there.
Weird.
Yeah.
Why does it say nuanced content at the bottom?
Fighting the commies?
That's my show. That's the show we did last night.
Oh,
okay.
I was like, are they fighting the commies?
Oh, no, these are the commies on screen.
I was going to say, that looks like Binkley over there.
That'd be a just over there. It's crazy. Like, they're very, and if you listen to the way they talk, they're former congressional staffers. They act like we're grassroots, are totally top down funded, just like the pod bros who are the speech writers for Obama. It's all bullshit.
He looks like one of those congressional staffers that was taking it in the ass.
Dude, he looks, there's a lot of videos of him and Lindsey Graham, like the real Jan 6 videos, all those gay sex videos, you know.
Wait a minute, Brad, were you actually talking to this dude live on the show?
No. I was playing clips from one of their training sessions. Because they did training.
Like, I haven't listened to that one yet. Shit.
Yeah, they organized a Treasury Department rally where Chuck Schumer was like, come on, guys, you know, and the gay lesbian, the dyke I was talking about, they were the ones that organized it. Rachel Maddow promoted it. She always has these two very odd people on. And they're not. They're not grassroots at all. None of it's grassroots.
It's very contrived, very planned, and I mean, that seems to be like everything we're living in right now. Everything is very, if not planned, it's...
So it seems like we're watching season 15 of our favorite show, and we're talking about it, and we're getting really involved in it.
We're like,
dude, can you believe that he did that last season? That was bullshit. But then you're like, oh, it's just a show. It's just, oh my God, I can't believe I'm even talking about this.
Why is my blood pressure rising about this bullshit?
That's you see him in person, you want to fight him?
Yeah.
When we talk about Biden and Trump, and I do it too. We're all, you know, it's fun. It's our life. It is our life. We are in the show. But I do feel like we're watching season whatever of whatever, because every season it has to change. So every 4 years there's different actors, different casts. Some people don't like it. They're like, I don't like the new narrative that this show's going in. It's annoying. I liked the last cast better.
We're on season how many hundred of the United States Empire, and it's being televised.
Still British, we never actually got away from them.
Brad and Forrest Mommy was like 90 Day Fiance Pillow Talk, where you're like watching a show and recapping it.
Right, that's what we watch. It says, dude.
Oh my God.
You guys think we're going to go to World War III? So I always compare it to Woodrow Wilson.
World War IV.
Woodrow, he ran on, we're going to keep us out of war. Then less than 5 months later, we were in the war. Is that do you guys think that Trump is going to more likely to lead us into war, or?
Yes.
Yeah. We're with who, though? Do you think they're going to do the fake
Iran.
Alien invasion?
Iran.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was thinking otherworldly beings to potentially try to unite the the world. Sorry.
First, with all the sunk costs they have and hating Muslims, and then you've got Pete Hegseth, who's on some crusade against Muslims.
Dude, his tattoos are like straight up crusader tattoos.
I just did a show with William Ramsey talking about the Knights of Malta that are infesting Trump's inner circle. And those are like Catholic crusaders and interested in like getting all the Muslims out of there. And then the Netanyahu loyalty, like he's assembling a team that has one thing in common. They all want to destroy Iran.
Exactly. So
I'm extremely fearful of that because he's the type of guy who would do it. Netanyahu.
Fuck your gas tank of your car.
Yep. That's why he's started up Anwar and redoing all the oil leases and all that stuff. Like we better crank up production because we're about to cut off, Iran, not just their supply, but the Strait of Hormuz.
Dude, people underestimate Iran. They're very capable. They're capable of fighting fucking back like a lot. Yeah.
Oh, they're
it's
not
crazy.
It's three times the size of Iraq.
They like to call them goat fuckers, but no, they have some technology over there.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just kidding. But would China be with them? China is part of their
China.
Probably I don't know. Just to be against us. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
I like China. North Korea.
Pete Hegseth, that guy, that here confirmation here.
He rubs me wrong.
He does
too. So not in a good way.
So he's an asshole. Like if you're going to change the military from being super gay, like it was, people doing TikToks about how they can't run a mile, to be warfighters again, then I can see him being good at that. But like Mullins, I think is the guy's name who like he threatened to fight that union boss at one point, like maybe 6 months ago or something. The line of questioning, he did not do all of his research on Pete Hegseth before, because at one point when he was trying to build up Hegseth, he was like, all you hypocrites up here. He didn't actually show off Hegseth's credentials. He just said, he sucks, but so do all of you suck. You all fuck everybody else and get drunk all the time too. And then he was like, and your wife, thank you for forgiving him. And he's talking about infidelities, right? Thank you for forgiving him. I don't know why you did it. My wife has forgiven me. I mean, the guy's talking about like, I fucked everybody in this room. My wife forgave me. And he doesn't realize that Pete Hegseth's current wife, and he's saying, and your kids, talk about your kids and family. And you can, if you watch it, Hegseth gets really uncomfortable because the current wife was the mistress to the previous wife. And it wasn't her it was the previous two wives who he cheated on. There's no, maybe he's cheated on the current wife, but there's no actual allegations that he's cheated on this current wife. And this guy's going, thank you for forgiving him.
And that was his other wives.
Right, totally. And the kids, he's saying, and your kids, she's been a good mom to your kids. Those kids probably hate that woman because he had those kids with his previous wife, and there's 0% chance that he has custody over them. He probably never sees them. So if you go back and watch that, knowing this, it's hilarious.
Brad, you do an excellent hick Southern accent, and I know you're typecasted like that in every role you've ever had.
Goofy white guy, redneck. You know how many times I said the hard R in an audition?
How many? Do it again.
A number of times. They get a call back. Like, you're really very good.
You're really good at that. Do you practice a lot?
They're like, you can make mouth noises with.
Let me get another take. Let me get three
syllables. Yeah, that's
you
great.
You need me to do some more? You want me to do it again? I'll do it again if you want me to do
it
again.
Go hard. Yeah. All right, so Brad, do you think we're going into World War III?
I hope not, but historically, it looks like we might be.
Do you think it's going to be? Oh, go ahead. No, keep going.
I've seen articles where it's like Trump has taken a little bit of a softer stance on China, so I hope, like I truly hope that he is who the people who like love him the most believe that he is. But I've thought for a long time that the UAP thing, that the drone thing, that everything since the beginning of the Great Reset I was like, the drones, the UAPs are eventually going to be blamed on China, which when they came out the other day and said, oh, it's not, they had been saying it's China. They said it's not. I was like, oh, well, maybe they'll try not to do that. But the UAPs are going to be blamed on China. You have the AI shit blamed on China. Everything is going to fall into that great power struggle with China and Iran, like the Great Reset, which is going to knock America back and build up these other powers, has had in the playbook. And so far, everything looks to be kind of rolling that way.
So that's what I was wondering, is if we go into World War III, it will be, there's been a great setup to make America look ridiculous and make us fall as the greatest nation in the world. And I think if World War III happens, we are potentially all doomed, at least in this life. Maybe we'll come back.
Well, it depends
who knows
on how you look at it too. Like, some people think we've been in World War III for like 20 years with the information war. Like, I don't think it's going to be as kinetic as people think. Like, it's not going to be like World War II where we got people bayoneting other people on the battlefield. I don't think it's going to be like that at all.
And when did they start calling World War II World War II? Like, right away, day one? Like, when did that happen?
Probably 1900.
Was it right there? Yeah, I mean, was it 1975 when they started writing it in history books? Who knows? Like, maybe this
when
will
Ferdinand,
be World War
II. He, you know, he assassinated the guy. Everybody was like, World War One begins. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be that.
Why are you
yeah.
calling it number one?
You don't really know what you're in until you're out.
Yeah,
we know. Always like a good, you know,
trilogy.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. No, right. It comes in threes. What is it? Triplicity, conspiracy, triplicity. It always.
How many
comes
times we blown the world up and restarted? You guys think like seven?
We don't know. That's the problem.
I don't know, but it's definitely after the third one. We're like in the Empire Strikes Back of Star Wars.
We're in.
I know that's technically six, but I'm a nerd, and that's three to me. Okay?
We're in,
I was
like
born in 80.
Overtime at this point. Yeah. Like, we're overdue for the meteor to just smash. Like Corey Hughes always says. Just
this is why I love David Icke, is for this subject right here. How many times we started over?
We've started over enough times. Hey, I think deja vu, I've talked about this. I think we live this life over and over. And why we have deja vu is because we need to be able to have some sort. We'll never change or learn or grow if we have no knowledge of what's going to happen. We have to have something, but we can't know all of it, because then we'll just walk through it like cake and it's no big deal. We have
Groundhog
to struggle.
Day.
So you have to have, maybe you get some arbitrary number, 10, 20, whatever, points in your life where you get to pick a very boring moment right before a very, very important moment, and you get to put a peg in that. And you'll have deja vu while you're walking back from the bathroom at your work with your manager or something. But right after that, maybe a day later, something very important will happen. And that's what deja vu is for all of us, so that we can all potentially learn and grow.
Well, it's why we can't keep just talking to the same people over and over again, like Brad and Charlie, because we'll never learn shit, obviously.
Right. Yeah, what?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
White people are awesome.
Dude, and the historical knowledge, too. People don't agree on what happened last week. Depending on how the history turns out, 50 years from now, it could be the great January 6th insurrection. Exactly. Right. 85 million people died. We'll be learning in the education system, or there'll be some of the great Trump rose from the dead. It's going to be some sort of you know, convoluted version of history. And it just makes me think how much history has actually been lost. We can't agree on something as a few years ago.
Most of
well,
it.
Well, so much, but there's so much social media now. They'd have to literally destroy all of that and then rewrite it as the great Trump. And,
but digitally, you know, it's so much easier now. They don't have to burn books. Yeah. They just got to type a couple keys in and delete
shit.
Yeah,
they could. They could totally do that. But people can save their own shit.
Take the flag up to Mount Suribachi and reshoot the Iwo Jima scene again a second time, or do what they did with the fall
Which
of Berlin
happened.
Where they run that the second time they run that Russian flag up there and then take the picture. It's like,
yeah,
no, you're
like, people are gonna have to start carving history, it like, in stone again for
would
posterity.
Have been great if we'd done that. Oh well, let's
we could
do it again, and let's
That's
just pretend like it was the first
point.
Time
like it's and all also fucking PR minded like that. Most people don't realize that stuff. They got to capture that moment to memorialize it.
Well, it's like Trump, or like Trump getting shot in the ear. That shot where he's like, "Yeah, fight," and the flags in the background. Don't fucking tell me that was spontaneous. Go
Who
fuck
would
yourself.
Have that? That would never happen.
Perfect. Too perfect. And I started to get suspicious on January 1st when I saw the Cybertruck that was on fire and it was right next to the Trump logo. And I'm like, Gladio, anybody? I mean, like, was the camera, was the director like, and action, you know?
Kubrick's
like,
actually still alive and he's like, cut.
Totally perfectly framed. Guys. Just a, you know, great shot. Coincidentally,
HD, shows I love that
Elon on fire. Donald Trump next to him, best friends. The symbolism of that, the anchoring psychologically in people's minds. That you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It just all felt stage managed.
My favorite part of that story was the messages that the guy gave to whoever, I can't remember the dude's name, who then said it on some military guy's podcast, whatever. Yeah. And you know, if we assume that he wrote that, which I don't believe that necessarily, I don't believe any of it, but like, you know, taking it at face value that he wrote that message, he concluded that message by saying that he just needed to get the word out about what these things are. That they're, he talked about China, he talked about their they're like extraterrestrial in nature, and it's this is the only way I could warn people about what was happening. And if I just tell them, like all these people have told, people have tried to tell people, like David Grush and all them, and nobody listens, then nobody will take me seriously. So he basically said, I'd rather blow my head off than sound like David Grush, UAP whistleblower.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Yeah, okay, that was one. That was like the beginning of weirdness for January, or I guess was that December 31st? I don't know. But it was the beginning of the weirdness for the year, and we're just starting. And there's been so much weird shit. If you want to go into the plane crashes and all that, go to your local Gematria dealer. I'm sure they'll have plenty of information for you about the numbers or whatever. I don't really care about that, unless you can tell me what's going to happen next. But yeah, it's, we need to actually do this. I think we talked about this last year, actually. We need to make a bingo card, because we talk about that at the end of every year. We're like, oh, did you have this on your bingo card? We need to actually do bingo cards and be like, all right, June, we're going to have another George Floyd, but this time he's going to be like kneed in the dick till he dies. Or, you know, we need to come up with random shit and see how many people win, because that we could make some money off that, actually. We could do some FanDuel or
fantasy football.
That's probably how the globalists brainstorm
fantasy
shit to
do. Life.
You know, they're probably like, what's the craziest
shit? That's
probably
exactly what they're doing.
What if a tree falls on him and he bludgeons his asshole, comes out through his mouth, and he dives on a Cybertruck?
I'll take $1 million on that.
Yeah.
What are the odds? I'll give you 17 to 1. Oh, fine. I'll put $1 million on it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The weirdest part is I could totally see that happening in some capacity. Like, it doesn't seem that crazy to me.
Well, did you ever see the movie Rat Race? Like a million years ago, there was a really funny movie. It was like
Charlie's old. Sorry,
I definitely saw that, but way back in the day.
Yeah, well, they were all betting. It was like that. They were all betting on who was going to win the rat race, and they were like, you know, like Japanese billionaire businessman in the back. Everyone's smoking cigars, and they're up in this like big control room where they're watching it on like a million different TVs, and
it's like
all
Trading Places too.
Kind of like Trading Places too.
Or like Squid Game.
Right. That I think, you know, that plane crash, by the way, nobody really talked about this because they all like, well, yeah, we kind of expected that to happen. But that's literally never a helicopter crashing midair into a passenger jet commercial plane in America. It's never happened before, ever. And it's only happened one other time in the world, in Saudi Arabia.
It was like the 40s, right?
In 2012. There's been helicopters running to helicopters running to private planes, never a commercial passenger jet. And a helicopter colliding midair. Literally the first time it's ever happened here, second time in the world. And they're like, yeah, we kind of expected that to happen. Let's install AI Copilot, which I found this thing where they have this, it's AI Copilot to take over.
Is it called Matrix?
I don't know.
Didn't it come out that the pilot was transgender? So like, is that, like, it was a trans woman or something?
False.
I don't even know.
The pilot?
Yeah, I don't know what.
Yeah, first I heard it was a woman, and then you told me it was a trans woman.
Oh, I don't know. I was just saying things I've heard that it probably had a boner.
Well, maybe.
It's also like, if you expected it to happen, then maybe how about we don't do military training exercises in the middle of a very busy airspace?
That's exactly what I said. The first thing I said, I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. So this, if we're assuming this is true, this is a military training exercise. And the Matrix autonomous system that they've been developing or whatever, weird name, Matrix, okay. But they're doing a training thing right in a known flight path at a known altitude of jets that are landing. Let's say all that's true, and they were just like, "Oh shit, oversight. We didn't know."
Like, I mean, it was bound to happen.
Instead of doing it in the Nevada desert or something.
Sorry, your family's
right here. Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's a lot of.
Imagine being told that. Well, let's just. It was going to happen. Like you, that your family died because of a training exercise. Like, well, why the fuck are you doing it if you expected it to happen?
Well, you got to trust the science, and you got to trust Fauci.
Fauci.
If you're attaching, if you're attacking science, you're attacking Fauci and Bill Gates and everybody else who know what's best for you.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with attacking the science. I don't mind.
Hey,
whatever science is promoted, it's probably incorrect. Everything we hear is incorrect.
I'm fine with attacking science all the way up to.
Dude, so I wonder if Trump like has Fauci and some of these other people, because Trump's doing a mix of things, you know. If they're going to go to war, they need to keep us occupied domestically in a way that even though some people are still protesting, I would say the country's a little more unified now, and they try to unify a country
in a weird way.
Yeah, it feels like it. And they Walter Lippmann writes a lot about this, like 110 years ago. That you got to keep the public domestically occupied with shit so that the grown-ups can do all the foreign policy stuff while they're not paying attention. So I wonder if while Trump is peppering in some of this stuff that people are going to hate with the stuff that they like, if he's just, I'm going to keep Fauci in my pocket, and if they really start to get mad at me, the public, we're going to hang that motherfucker. Oh. Yeah, like, what's he holding back?
Would you like just so he can...
Yeah, I agree. If we're united, if you think we're united, then there's something wrong. If it's politically united, if people are politically united and politicians are still doing their thing, that's a little scary. Right.
Yeah. And I guess it's the same thing as 4 or 5 years ago. We're just going to hang out and make fun of shit and see what happens.
We'll be okay.
Keep talking to people like you. But let's get out of here. Brad, Propaganda Report.
PropagandaFight.com is my website. Okay. Freedom Act Radio, Brad Binkley on X. There's a link tree there where you can find all of my stuff. YouTube, Brad Binkley, Rumble, all that shit.
Perfect. Nice. And of course, wherever you get podcasts. And Charlie, who is the new owner of ActivistPost.com, if you want to have news curated by Charlie himself, he is the editor. Go there. Of course, his show Macroaggressions and anything else you got going on. I saw you holding up a book there.
Is that a new book? It's the second edition of Hypocrisy is out in audio format as well. So
very cool.
We've got the paperback at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We've got the audiobook at Amazon, Audible, Spotify, wherever you get it. And it's voiced by Darren Grimes of Grimerica.
Nice. Awesome. That's very cool. Congratulations. That's great.
Very cool.
Darren and Graham are starting their CBD business, GrimericaCBD.com, and we will have a promo code for you soon on that. But that's
from the 51st state or 52nd. I don't know if Cos is
depends on Greenland might beat it.
Yeah,
you never know.
Canadians are going to be so mad if Greenland beats them out for the 51st. Yeah. Oh, God.
We might be at 60 or so by the time Trump's out of office.
I think, will Puerto Rico be jealous? Aren't they already part of the United States? Nah. They're deporting people to Puerto Rico.
They're a territory.
Like, they're already kind of in there. Okay, whatever.
Dude, if Greenland beats Canada out, you know what Canada's going to do? Oh, that's nice. I'm sorry. And they're still going to apologize for it.
And be like, no, you first. You have like one thing. I have
You have way more ice. You go ahead first. Well, thanks, you guys. Appreciate you guys coming on, especially Brad, who's on the East Coast and it's way later over there. Oh my God. But
I'm
Charlie, good to see you again. I know you are. You're always on at like 1 a.m. It's crazy.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Charlie, it was good talking to you. Always great insights from all y'all.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Yeah. Thanks, Charlie.
And thanks everybody listening on audio, YouTube, and wherever else you listen. We'll see you fucking next time.
Thank you for listening to the Chip Pad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.